Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. You can be seated. Our Father, tonight, as we bow in your presence, I pray you might help us and strengthen and encourage. Lord, bless the people. Thank you for them coming to the house of God tonight. Lord, if they had not been here, we couldn't have a service. And they're here. I pray, God, you'd open their minds of understanding. Then give them something, Lord, to fill them. And I pray tonight, God, that might lead them and direct them. And may something be said or done tonight that would find a lodging place in our heart, that we'd not just come and be seated and then leave, but God would take something out and go to the house of God, a house where we live with it tonight. I pray, God, we'd get something right here. Lord, I pray that you'd bless and have your way. And God, we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. Use us and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Hebrews and starting tonight. And we'll have a little continuation of what we've been doing. Hebrews chapter number 12. And I believe I come short. I believe tonight I'll be the first one to say it. Whether anybody else does or not, I believe tonight that I'm one that comes short of the glory of God. Even though I'm saved, I believe tonight I missed the mark. And I believe you, if you're honest with yourself tonight, will say the same thing about yourself. And I believe we've come to the conclusion tonight that none of us are perfect. Amen. Now, I believe tonight that we can get to the place where we can be more perfect than what we are. But we're not without sin, none of us in this building. And I believe we also have come to the conclusion that none of us will be without sin until we get into the eternal presence of God with a brand new body, like unto the Son of God. Do you believe that? So I believe we're together singing on the same page. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 14. The Bible said, fall of peace with all men and holiness. Notice that word holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, I want to bring a little thought. I've given a few thoughts through the last few weeks on holiness and sanctification and being set apart for God. But tonight, a little title, something like this. That holiness is required. Or God requires holiness. I believe God requires that. You see what he said here? Fall of peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now in Psalm 14, I read a while ago, God said he had been looking to and fro up in the earth to see if there's anybody that's good and that he's found none good. Amen. And we go to other places in Romans where he said there's none righteous, no not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. In Ecclesiastes, there's not a just man on the face of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we are together tonight with that. But I want to say something. Holiness is something that we have to have. Amen. Holiness is something that we have to have. And all of us have a portion of holiness tonight. We'll look at that in just a moment. I pray that you might bear with me and look at these thoughts with us out of the Word of God. We'll be using them. And I pray that God might help you. Now, by the way, as getting the introduction and starting this tonight, some folks, and would you believe it tonight, are more holy than other folks. Amen. Some people are more holy than other people. Sometimes you've been more holy than you are tonight, or maybe you're more holy tonight than you've ever been. Amen. Understand what I'm saying? And I believe tonight that there's degrees of holiness. But I believe when God's talking about it, and somebody says, well, that's erroneous and that's not right. Well, let's look at the Word of God tonight. First of all, put this in your notes. Lost people cannot be holy. Lost people, they're those people tonight who are not saved and not born in the family of God. They are not holy. They can't be holy. They may look like they're holy. They may act like they're holy. Amen. You understand? Follow me now. Stay with me. They may claim that they're holy. They may try to be holy. They may dress like they're holy. They may eat like they're holy. And there is a holy eat. Amen. That's right. They may talk like they're holy. They may walk like they're holy. They may live like they're holy. And they may claim these things tonight, but that's all it is just a claim. Amen. Because according to the Word of God, the only one that can make us holy is a holy God. And if they have not God in their heart, they cannot be holy. Amen. Now, in like token, turn this around and follow with me. Stay with us as we're studying this thought. We're trying to make this practical. Make it as simple and plain in our understanding. That's what the Bible does, you know. It makes it plain. And so we look at it. You can also be saved by God's grace. You can be born again, and your sins of unbelief, the sin of unbelief, can be forgiven and put under the blood of Christ. Amen. Now think about it. You can go to church regularly. You can have a Bible, and even, by the way, have a right Bible. Amen. You can pray. You can work to some degree in the work of God. You can look good, smell good, do good, live good, and still not be completely holy. Amen. You said, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, I'm going to give you some scriptures about that in just a minute. In other words, tonight we can go through the pretense and be saved. Now, we can be saved by the grace of God. We know that we're saved by the grace of God. But that means tonight that some folks who are saved are more holy than other folks. Some of them are. There's something tonight that we have to have, and what God wants us to have tonight, that's sanctification, and that means we've been set apart and we belong to the Lord. And we have to look at these things. Now, all of us who are saved by the grace of God have a part in us tonight that is holy, and that's Christ Jesus. When the devil moved out, the Lord moved in. Amen. He didn't move in with the devil. Remember that. Amen. The devil moved out. Now, if you're saved tonight, Jesus still possesses your heart. He still dwells in your soul. You still belong to Him. And, amen, He belongs to you. But we sometimes put Him in the back room. We put Him on the back side. And we don't want, you know, to let Him get involved in our life. And so He's there. We do have that holiness seed, or the seed of being holy, inside, right? We've been born by the incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth. And so we have a part, and all of us who are born again tonight have a portion of holiness. Amen. But I'm come short when it comes to saying tonight I'm as holy as somebody else. I don't like to measure myself. And you know, as I've been preaching on this and studying about it for the last few weeks, I've tried my best to remind you that we should not get the place that we think that we're more holy, or we start trying to, think that we're holier than somebody else. And that's bad for us to do tonight. As a matter of fact, I've said this, and I hope you understand it and remember what I've said a few times, that the more holy you become, the more you'll try to seek to be holier. You won't brag about where you've arrived and gotten to if you're bragging about being holy tonight. You're bragging about how close to God you live. You might better check up and come to the altar. You're not as close as you think you are. Amen. You either backslid or you never got there. Now, I believe that. Now, in the Word of God, we find some in the Bible that were self-righteous. They were called Pharisees. They looked good, didn't they? They could dot the I's. They could cross the T's. They could quote the scriptures, and somebody said they could quote them forwards and backwards. Amen. But they had the scriptures sewed up in their garments. And they knew the law. They could tell the Lord even when He was breaking the law, or when they thought He was. He never broke it. Amen. But they knew how to bring it out, and how that they would falsely accuse Him. Because they the ones that could dot the I's, cross the T's. They were real self-righteous. And we can get the same way, but that don't mean that you're holy. Amen. We can also look at this. There's some that's self-satisfied. Look in the book of Revelation, please. Revelation chapter number 3. Look at this, and we'll see something here that I believe that we need to see. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 15, He's talking to the Laodicean church. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. God said, what I wish is you're one way or the other. You're either cold or hot so that you could be identified. But there were compromisers. They're sitting down the middle. He said, so then, because thou art lukewarm, You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. You're right in the middle. And neither cold nor hot I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, now notice what they said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What they're saying is, we are self-satisfied. We're satisfied where we are. Now, our churches have come to that place tonight, and I'm afraid sometimes we get there. We're satisfied. Remember, I mentioned this 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was preaching on this same subject, that sometimes we don't want to get right with God because we're satisfied right where we are. We don't want to get more holy than what we are. We're satisfied. Amen. We love enough of the world and getting enough attention to the world and giving enough attention to the world. And we're getting enough attention from the world. And so we come to the church and we are getting attention from the church and giving all we think enough attention to the church. And so we don't want to change anything. We're satisfied. And we're living in the midst of people today who are self-satisfied. They don't want to get any closer to God. They're satisfied where they are, spiritually, amen, and there's a problem with that. And here's where the Laodicean church had come to. They didn't have a need of nothing. Amen. It's hard to get church folks to understand. You see, we are living in the Laodicean church age. It's hard to make them see that they're coming short, that they're missing the mark, and they don't want to reach out and get nothing. We're satisfied with, so we can be self-satisfied. Now, let me just point that out a little closer to you. That was Adam. When Adam sinned, the Bible said before he sinned, he was naked. But he didn't know that he was naked. You remember the story? And then as soon as they sinned, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and they covered their nakedness and stood before God. Now, as far as Adam's concerned, when he stood before God with his fig leaf aprons, as far as he's concerned, he was covered. But God still saw him naked. And because the covering had been come off, the glory of God had come over. And he had covered his nakedness and he thought he's hid. And he thought he's all right as far as he's concerned. He is satisfied with his clothing. You see what I'm saying? And God had to kill some innocent animals and take coats of skin because the blood had to be shed for the sin, you see. And that he used to cover Adam with. And so we'll find tonight that we get like that. We get self-satisfied with what we are. Our churches are filled with what I sometimes want to refer to as moral lepers. You know what a leper did in the Old Testament time? He had to go outside the city. He lived in a little colony that was just made for the lepers. And as his old flesh is rotting off his body, and he'd come around and he has to cover his mouth and he'd cry unclean and carry a sign saying unclean, unclean. He couldn't come around. And sometimes in our churches, we're just as morally corrupt as the leper. And listen, we come to the house of God sometimes morally corrupt. Amen. We're not holy like God wants us to be. The Bible talks about us, woe them who are at ease in Zion. And sometimes we get at ease in Zion. In this modern day, almost anything will be accepted in the church. You live about any kind of lifestyle, do about anything you want to. And I'm talking about naturally in this world, you can see that every day. But I believe God's people are separate and different. And so it means a degree of holiness that God puts upon us tonight, and we need that. Now, sanctification and holiness, let me give you a couple of things that they are not. First of all, sanctification and holiness that I'm talking about tonight is not the eradication of sin. In other words, it's not perfection. Well, we're not committing sin at all. And I've said that over and over and over, started off that way and trying to hammer on that. And you said, you're repeating yourself. I intend to repeat myself on this tonight because it don't go over too good sometimes. We will not and cannot live above sin tonight and without committing sin somewhere or another. Now, you said, preacher, I believe we have that right. We can. The Bible said, I have you not to sin. The Lord would be pleased tonight if we didn't sin, wouldn't he? He don't want us to sin. God didn't lay it down in the Bible that we're going to and demand that we sin. He demands that we do not sin. And he tells us not to commit sin. But he knows what the human flesh is. But the human flesh tonight can walk through this life without sinning. You said, why, it can't do it. Jesus did it and proved that it could be done. But you and I have done come along too late. You've already sinned. So you're not going to get out of this world without it. Amen. So you've already sinned. And I'm saying to you tonight that we won't be able to get above that, you see, because we have the flesh exactly where it ought to be tonight, in the hands of God completely. The only way you could live in this world without sin is to constantly have your mind 100% and heart 100% set upon God, and you never have nothing else to enter your mind, entertain your thoughts, and everything you did was for the glory of God, and you don't do that. Amen. The devil will see to it for one thing, but I'll tell you tonight, it's not the eradication of sin or sinlessness. Now, it's not that. When we're not talking about holy, it don't mean tonight that you're not sinning. It just means tonight that you're alone with God and God's got you. And don't think this is a contradiction. It's not. What happens when we're holy? What happens when we're sanctified? Three things God has tonight. Number one, our minds are stayed upon God. Holiness affects our minds. Second, it affects our affections. And thirdly, it affects tonight our wills. Three things will be affected by the hand of God when you are sanctified and set apart for the Master's use. Number one, your mind. Your minds are set on God. You're thinking on things of God. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. We'll have the mind of Christ when we're sold out to God 100%. Secondly, I said, I believe tonight that our affections, the things that we love, we won't love the world. We won't love the things of the world. We'll love God. We'll love God's Word. We'll love God's church. We'll love God's work. We love the things of God and not the things of this world no more. See? And then thirdly, it gets the place in our wills. Lord, I don't want to do what I want to do anymore. I crucify myself. I put myself to the side. And I want you to be what needs to be done in my life. And I'm going to follow you, so we're in the will of God and we want our wills to correspond to Him. That's what happens when we fully where we ought to be with God and we walk a holy life like that. Amen. That don't mean that the devil's going to give you some bad thoughts sometimes. It just means that when he does, you're going to put that under blood right there. Amen. In other words, you don't gaze your eyes out on looking on sin and begin to harbor on sin. You don't begin to sit down and think about sin and meditate on sin. You meditate on the things of God. And when the devil puts something in your path, or when somebody puts something in your path, you lay that before God right then. That's what happens when you're sold out to God and you become holy. Amen. Now, some of us tonight, we do a little bit of that. Amen. A little of it. Every once in a while, God gets the victory and we get our mind off the things of the world. Come on. And sometimes a few more things. But it's hard 24/7 to live that way, but that's where God wants us to be. Where these three things are affected. That's the first thing. It does not eradicate the sin. Secondly, it don't purify the carnal nature of you. You're still going to have this body. As long as you live in this body of sin, you see, that's why the Bible said this body is waiting for the adoption, the wit, the redemption of the body. It's waiting, it's moaning, it's groaning that it's going to get a new body. This body tonight cannot walk. It's a sinful creature. We're carnal. It's a carnal flesh. I don't know about you, but I have trouble with my flesh. Oh, preacher, I don't have no trouble. Listen, I've heard these jaybirds crow, church members crow. I've heard preachers crow. Amen. Bless God, I got everything under control. Listen, some of them preach that they live above sin. I've always said you can't live above sin unless you get you a house over the top of a beer joint. That's living above it, ain't it? Amen. Or any other thing like that. But I'm saying to you tonight, sin's not something that we tonight are under control or can take control of it like we ought to. We can't. Neither can you be holy. Now, we're leading up to this tonight. I want you to get this. Look here what God said. Turn in the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to give you some scriptures that I know you already know. You've gone over them lots of times. You've heard them preached. But I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Mark these in your Bible. These are some things that you ought to keep in mind about this. 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 7. Samuel is going down to anoint the king. Matter of fact, he's going down to get the king out of David's household. Matter of fact, he's going to be the one that's going to be anointed. But he don't know that at this particular time. And here's what God is saying to Samuel when he goes and sees Jesse's sons. First of all, in verse number 7, Samuel comes in. Here's what the Lord said. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Now this looked like he ought to be the king he's looking at. Or on the height of his stature. He looks like he ought to be getting this one. That's what maybe Samuel's thinking. He said, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh what? On the outward appearance. But the Lord looketh on the heart. Do you see that tonight? Now remember, God looks on the heart. So these people's going around telling you that they're, you know, holy. They're walking holy, looking holy, and they're nothing but religious Pharisees. Listen tonight, God sees all that, but God knows the heart. Now God knows your heart tonight. You may portray something to me to make me think that you've got something you don't have, or maybe don't have something I think you've got. But I want you to know, God knows your heart. I don't know whether you're saved and right with God tonight or not. I don't know where you're, how holy you are, but God does. So we're not to judge one another by those things. Amen. Now turn just a little further over into Proverbs. We'll come straight through for a moment. Proverbs chapter number 4. And when we get to chapter number 4, let's look down at verse number 23. And notice what God says in verse 23 of chapter 4. For they are, chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now what you saying? Everything is coming out from where? Where? The heart. Not from the head. All the issues of life are coming out from the heart. You see, it's the heart that's the problem. And this is where God wants to get us. All the issues are coming out from the heart. Turn over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 27. I want to read two verses in chapter 23. Verse 27 and 28. Jesus said these words. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. And what did he call them? Hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Somebody that professes to be something that he is not. They profess that they were holy. They professed that they were righteous. They professed that they were right. But they were not. Here's what he said to them. He said, for you are like unto whited sepulchres. You know what whited sepulchres are? Graves that have been painted, cleansed, and if you will, whitewashed. How many of you remember them back yonder years ago? I remember it when I was a boy. They'd take the trees and they'd paint the trees up so far on the trunk right from the bottom of them. We call it whitewashing them. Whitewash the fence. They didn't have all the modern paint that we got today, but they always fixed up things and made it and whitewash that stuff. They didn't go out and paint the tree. They put stuff on it, made it look like it, you know. They mixed stuff up. All right. He said you look like whited sepulchres. In other words, you got the graveyard painted. You look good. You got it cleaned up. Looks good. Which indeed appear beautiful outward. You see what he says? But are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. He said, even so, you're also outwardly, or you also outwardly appear what? Righteous. To who? Unto men. But within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Amen. Hypocrisy and iniquity. What's iniquity? Sin. So you see what he's talking to? He said, you look like whited graveyards or whited sepulchres. You look like you've been painted up pretty on the outside, but the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You've got a problem. Now, what is it? All issues come out from where? The heart. Now, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. So here's right along what I'm talking about tonight. Slip over to the book of Mark, chapter number 7. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to appear to you tonight that I'm holy. I don't want to appear to you that I'm righteous. I want to be that way. I don't want to appear that way to you. I want to really be holy and I want to really be righteous. And I pray tonight that that's your desire. If you're trying to put on the show tonight, amen. And if you've just put your Bible on your arm and you come to church tonight just because you feel like that's where you ought to be, I'm glad that you did. But I want to say to you tonight, if you're just here to impress us, you're here for the wrong purpose. And so here we look in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 21. Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the what? Heart of men. Now here's from the heart. Here's what happens. Proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And he said, all these evil things come from where? Where's that at? Heart. And what? Defile the man. Tells on us. Now God wants the inside clean. Now here's where holiness is. That's where sanctification is. God is not going to sanctify your body. He's not going to sanctify that part. He's going to sanctify your heart. And because from your heart, you start, it comes out. And from your heart is where God wants it all to happen, so that on the outside it's a natural claim. God don't work from the outside in. We know that. We preach that. We've heard that. We know that tonight. God don't work from the outside first. He works from the inside and let it work itself out. Amen. So that's where holiness is. Amen. So we look at these things. Job said, let me give you a few things. Job said, behold, I am vile. Do you believe Job was a saved man? The Bible said Job was a perfect and upright man who eschewed evil. The Bible talked about he feared God and eschewed evil. That word perfect means he was up. He meant that he was perfect and mature. When it means perfect, it means mature in heart. He was well versed. You know, now Job was a saved man, but Job said, behold, I am vile. David said in chapter 51 of the book of Psalms in verse number 5, he said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So David said he was wicked from his heart, and from his youth, and from his birth, and before his birth. So he gets that. Isaiah comes along in chapter number 6 after the presence of God come in, and he said, woe is me, I'm undone. You get that? That's in Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 5. So we know tonight that the heart is deceitful above all things. It really is. And desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah. Now, something else. We know tonight, man without God. You take God out of man, or man never gets God. Here's some of the things he'll have. He'll be impure. He'll be filthy, profane. He'll be vile. He'll be polluted. He'll be unholy. He'll be unfit for anything. And by the way, I want to remind you this. I said it before in several weeks past. We have no power in our own self to make ourselves holy or to make anybody else holy. But now we do have the authority and can do this. We can make ourselves appear to be holy, which is wrong. Amen. Now this is just plain, simple teaching tonight that we miss in our churches. But this is where we need to be tonight to understand it. We have no power to make ourselves holy. We have no power to cleanse ourselves from any sin. Or can we not tonight cleanse anybody else of their sin? We have no power tonight to change our heart, nor no power to change anybody else's heart. But God is the only one that can change us, and God is the only one that can help us. Amen. He's the only one that can do that. A proud man can't make himself humble. But God can take a fella, a woman, a man, a boy, a girl tonight, and God can make a proud person humble. God can bring us to humility. But we can't do it. Sometimes we get to be proud and arrogant, and we get to thinking that we're all right. We get to thinking that things are okay in our own heart and life, and which is a danger. It's bad for us. Amen. Pride is a sinful thing. But we can't, even though we might realize one day that we're full of pride. And we might try to work on it. Now, by the way, this is what happens in our churches. What I'm preaching on Sunday morning, when I'm preaching on Sunday night, and when any other time you're hearing somebody preach, what happens lots of times? When the Holy Spirit, and He does, He reminds you that something in your heart is wrong. You know yourself, when the preacher's preaching, it may not be something that he's even got his subject on. It may be just a verse of Scripture he's used as a text, and he might be using something, some little verse or some little word or two in that text that he's not even preaching on, but that word gets a hold of your heart and makes you see that there's something wrong in your soul. And you say, as a child of God, I need to correct that. And here's what you do. Most of the time you sit there, you hear that, and when you get up and go out the door, you start trying to correct it. You start trying to check it. You start trying to make sure. The preacher might preach on anger. He says, what you need to do is be sure, and get that anger under check. And get that up. And so you said, yes, that's right. You go out, and so you try to be careful and not to get mad at the dog, not get mad at the cat, not get mad at the kids, not get mad at the husband or the wife. When the problem you should have has not been solved yet, you're working on it. What you need to do is get that thing and put it before the altar of God and say, God, I've got a problem with it. I want to confess this to you and repent of it and let God take care of it. Now, that's what we do in our churches all the time. We go out and try to correct it. Some of y'all in here tonight are trying to correct some problems that God showed you had problems with 10 years ago and you still got the problem with tonight. You know why? Because you're trying to correct it. Amen. If you'll ever commit that thing to God, He'll straighten it out for you. Now, I know this from practical experience because I do that. I got the same flesh you got. I have the same problems you have. And so, when somebody says, the preacher get up preaching, he'll say, we're a little bit arrogant. And the Holy Spirit says, he's talking to you, big boy. And I'm sitting there thinking, now, I don't think I'm so arrogant. And he said, see, I told you he was arrogant. And so you know what I do? I start trying to correct that. Maybe somebody said, hey, why don't you smile? Have you ever went somewhere and you maybe just really didn't feel bad, didn't feel good? I don't smile all the time, do you? I don't understand all these people that think that you can. I wish I could. But I don't go around smiling. I've seen some, I believe, like I thought, boy, they got their mouth hung like that. They got hung with it. And they don't really, I can't understand what they're smiling about all the time. There's just some folks like that, some folks got a frown. They're born with a frown, they'll die with a frown. There's some born with a smile, and they'll die with a smile. Amen. And then there's some of us have to work on it, one way or the other. I've been in places, and they'll say, hey, why don't you smile? And I catch myself, I didn't know I wasn't, I feel good now. I say, all right, amen. I smile. Then I catch myself for a few days trying to go around putting on a smile. Have you ever done that? I'm telling you what happens. We get in the church and the preacher preaches and we get these things. And what it does to us is it makes us want to try to correct our problems. And we can't correct them. And now we're living with these same old problems in our life and we can't do a thing with them. And we're working on it. I've got things in my life right now that I've been working on for years. You said, preacher, you ever going to give it over to God? I hope one day I will. Amen. Now, you said, preacher, you have too. You got some things. You just give it over to God. He done handled it years ago if we'd have let Him. Amen. I know I'm telling the truth. I'm telling it just like it is. But that's what happens. We can't make... A proud man can't make himself humble. A carnal man can't make himself spiritual. If you're not spiritual on the inside, you won't be spiritual on the outside. You can plaster it up. Amen. You can act like you're shouting and praising God and you can have a hallelujah time. Amen. That's what happens to some of these folks today. I believe I met a lot of them. They come to church and they praise God and have a good time at church, but they're dead and dull the rest of the week. You meet them out in the public and they won't even grunt with you. They won't even give you a holy grunt. So you see what I'm saying. Now, let me hurry up with this tonight. Look in Romans chapter 8. In the book of Romans chapter 8. And this is a verse that's been used many times. I've used it in this series. I'll use it again probably before we get through. But at Romans chapter 8, verse 8, the Bible said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This flesh will never please God. It can't, it has never, and it never will. What pleases God? Faith. Flesh does not please God. Amen. Now, we may work and do everything we can to abstain from sin. The Bible said, to abstain from the very appearance of evil. I mean, we ought to leave it alone. If it's wrong, let's leave it alone. And we may work to abstain from sin. We may perform duties that God is pleased with. Whatever God is pleased with, we may try to do some duties to do that. Why, we may even get to the place that we'll torture our bodies. You said they wouldn't do that, would they? Let me see if I can find a chapter just come to my mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. You think people won't do that? Of course, I'd give you some others. And see if I can find the verse up here. And where he says, he talks about it. I'll try to find it for you. He's talking about charity. And he's telling some things. Let's just read down where we get it. Charity, verse 4, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Amen. So you see what he says? He's coming on down. And verse number 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And brother, he talks about here in the Word of God, we begin to love, things begin to happen, things begin to change. And then another place, Paul says that if we give our bodies to be burned. What verse? Verse 3, there we are. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So you can suffer in this body. Hey, you can do like some of them, get you a monastery and live in. That won't make you holy. You can be a hermit in the woods. That won't make you holy. God's got to work that holiness on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. A pure heart produces a pure mind. A pure mind will produce a good man or a woman to walk and do what God wants. Amen. That's right. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians, God, who is rich in mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. In Exodus 15 and 11, he says he's glorious in holiness. And many times in the Word of God, he says he's the Holy One of Israel. I read over in the book of Isaiah and in the house of God, they said, holy, holy, holy. I read in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and it said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so God is holy. His, according to the Word of God in Ephesians, or in Exodus chapter 16, we find that the Sabbath is holy. In Exodus 15 also, we find tonight that His sanctuary is holy. In Psalm 99, we see that His name is holy. And in the Psalm 145, His works are holy. And God is holy. And if we're going to get holiness and be holy, we're going to get it from God. God is the only one that can make you holy. God's the only one that can separate you from the world. God's the only one that can separate you from sin. God is the only one that can move in you to move out of you. Amen. God wants to fill you tonight, touch you, strengthen you, encourage you, cleanse you, purge you, and work from the inside. And He's on the inside if you're saved. He's already on the inside. You said, I want the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside. If you have never been saved, you need to get Him on the inside. You need to be born again. But if you've been born again, He's already in there. You just need to let Him take full charge of all your being tonight. Confess it all. Lay it all upon Him. Amen. You said, but I've got a life to live. And I've got work to be done. And I have to deal with the public every day. All of us have to do that. And God wants us to live a holy life on the job. God wants us to live a holy life at home. God wants us to live a holy life at church. God wants us to live a holy life in the public. Wherever we are, we're to demonstrate the grace and the touch of God in our life. We shouldn't have to plaster signs on us to let people know we're saved. They should be able to look at you and know that you walk with Christ, you talk with Christ, and you live with Him. Amen. And I want people to recognize that I'm a Christian that way. Amen. I don't want them to have to just call me a preacher just because of the title I have. Or just, I don't want them to call me a Christian because I've just made them think that I've been one. I want them to look at me and know that I am. Don't you? Amen. I want to be holy. And Brother God wants us to practice holiness. Amen. And amen. Heads bowed. God demands tonight and requires that we be holy. He don't give us a choice about it. He really just says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He don't say if you want to be holy. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So God demands holiness out of you and me. He requires it. Except, you know, he talks about holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If you're not holy, you don't see God. Only holy people meet a holy God and live with Him forever. Amen. So I want you to think about those things. Stand to your feet as they begin to play. Maybe there's something in your heart and life that you've been trying to straighten out for a long time. Maybe there's some little things in your life that you can't get under control. God wants to do that with you now. Won't you just confess it to Him and tell Him about it? Quit trying to work it out. You said, we're trying to work out our own spiritual life. We can't do that. God is the only one who does it. He can do it and do it right. Would you listen to Him tonight?